Hi, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Leah, and on this episode, I'm giving you a quick shot of romance, but author spotlight edition. And on this author spotlight, I am welcoming author Kate Claiborne. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Kate Claiborne is a USA Today bestselling author of The Other Side of Disappearing and Georgie All Along. She is a lifelong reader of texts of all kinds and a passionate advocate for the romance genre. A Midwesterner by birth, she now lives in Virginia. So before we talk the Paris match, let's get to go to know you. So why romance?
I think that I came to romance a little bit later than a lot of folks in the romance community. So I didn't start reading romance until I was like in my late 20s.
Okay.
And I think when I found the genre, it really felt to me like, where has this been all my life? Mm-hmm. It gave me in kind of condensed form what I think I was always drawn to in storytelling. But I also think I just was really drawn to the way it celebrated not just like romantic love, but also community. Like, you know, in the romances I read, you know, the characters had friends and they had professions and full lives. And I was really drawn to that. It was a very much like, where has this been all my life? And also, the part of me that always wanted to be a writer was sort of like, oh, it would be this, like, it would be this if I was ever going to write.
So what made you decide to write that first novel to publish?
I think like I had, when I started reading romance, I kind of went face first into it and I just read and read and read. And
it was like such a tendency to.
Yes. And it was such a, that's such an exciting time, like when you first discover the genre. And I think that like the books were such a profound comfort to me. Like they really meant a lot to me. And I think that what got me started writing was I just thought if I could make even one person feel the way these books have made me feel, that is like such a legacy to leave. And so I think that's like what got me trying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you're writing, do you plan out your stories or do you pants?
I would say it's like a mixture.
Okay.
Typically, you know, like once you're published and you're under contract and you're working with an editor, you're generally sending them like a proposal or an outline in advance. And so I do try to like generally stick to an arc, like the characters I have mapped out and where I think they're going to end up.
Mm-hmm.
But it I've
Does
never turned,
follow them.
I've never turned in a book that looks like.
You have like a loose idea of like where you want
yes.
to go. And then it kind of like takes
yes.
from there.
Yeah, it's the same, you know, it's always the same characters, always the same setting, the same kind of like conceptual incident that brings them together. But the thing I describe happening over the course of the book is never what I promised. So.
Well, so I tell every author that I talk to, and I've done a lot of these over the last like couple of years.
Yeah.
And I, one of the things I love the most about these conversations is how from point A to point B is so different for every author. Like the
yes.
finished product is the same. Like it is a novel of some sort, but
yes.
like every person's journey is different. Like the way they plan it, the way they write it, like,
yes.
like little quirks that they have, like as they're writing, like how they start their stories and how they finish their stories. It's just one of those things that the process is so fascinating to me because
yeah.
I mean, everybody's writing a book, but everybody is writing it their own way.
There's so much variation. I mean, it is really something incredible about like meeting authors and talking to them about their process.
Mm-hmm. So when you are writing, do you have any rituals or habits that help you stay focused, or do you just kind of like jump in and let it ride?
I think it kind of depends on the circumstances. I outside of writing, I work full time. And so like when I'm working, there's not really a lot of opportunity for ritual. Like I am just sort of like squeezing it in where I can. When I first started, I used to get up at like 4 in the morning and write
My.
before I went to work. But like after a few years, I was like, I can't do that anymore. Can't swing that anymore.
Mean, that's.
Yeah. So, I'm often like squeezing it in. But when I have like a day to write, I would say I do have some rituals. Like I love to have a candle lit. I love to have like tea or coffee with me. I usually have music on. I try to be someplace quiet. So when I have a full day, I try to make it feel like a writing environment.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, like with a full-time job, it's hard to like really
Yeah.
find the time to focus on those types of things.
Yeah, for sure.
When you're writing, how do you balance the development of the romantic relationship with the other elements of the stories?
I think that something that helps me is that like usually I start with like the characters and like the general theme I'm interested in, right? Like if I'm interested in writing a story about home, or if I'm interested in writing a story about, guilt or something like that, right? I'm usually thinking at the beginning, I'm thinking really in depth about the characters themselves and how how I am trying to shape those characters into the perfect fit for each other over time. And I think the story for me like follows from that, right? It's like what does this character need from the other character at this point? Are they able to meet it? What tension does that cause if they can't meet it? What has to change?
And how do their
So,
interactions like
yes.
the way the story progresses?
Yes. So for me, like that is kind of how the story unfolds. And I think that's often why my outlines do not match what I ultimately submit. Especially like as I get to know the characters better, like as I put them on page, I understand different things that they need at any given moment in the story.
So when you're reading, do you have a favorite trope you like to read?
I do. I'm a really long time admirer of Marriage in Trouble.
I love A Marriage in Trouble.
Yeah, because I think it's hard to do. So like when it's done well, I just think it like really hits. That is like one that I really gravitate toward. When someone tells me there's a good one, I'm like, let me get that. And I would say like similar to that is like any kind of setup where there was like a loveless marriage or a forced marriage, like in historicals, I'm interested in those. But I would say like more broadly, I really, as a romance reader, I really love tropes. Like even the tropes I don't gravitate toward, I like it when I read a good one.
And that's something because there are a couple tropes I don't love them.
Yeah.
Friends to lovers, second chance, like they have to really make sense for me. And
Yeah.
we talk about the on the podcast a lot, but like there are authors who it does not matter
Yeah.
if they're reading. Like I am reading it because I
Yeah.
know that they are going to give me a story that makes sense and works.
Yes. Yeah. I think that, and I think there's like something delightful in when there is a trope that you're not like typically drawn to, and you read a book of it that's
It ends
really
up being
good.
your
And
favorite.
it's, yeah, it's like that is really a delightful feeling. You're like, oh, this was a great secret baby book. And I never thought I'd say that.
Is there a piece of advice present author you would give past author you?
That is such a good question. Probably like that every book writes differently. So I would maybe say like, as you go on in writing, first of all, it's not that it's going to get easier every time, or at least it hasn't gotten easier for me. But also just like different books are going to require different things from you. So I have had books that the first couple chapters wrote really easily. And then I've had books where, like, the first couple chapters, man, I had to rewrite them a lot of times to get them feeling right. And they are books that I am proud of in equal measure, right? But they just required something different. And I would tell myself, like, trust that chaos, like,
Yeah.
it will come together.
I mean, I think that's great because I have talked to authors who they approach different because they write different subgenres.
Yes.
And so like they approach each subgenre in a different way, and like the way that they manifest like the creation of the book is so different, like
Yes.
subgenre, because it's like their headspace is different, like their character development is somewhat different, and it's just
Yes.
very interesting.
Yeah. It's, I mean, there's a part of you, I think, that longs for it to be routine so that the pressure is less. But I think for me at least, some of the magic of it is in how not routine it is.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So let's talk The Paris Match. It comes out
Okay.
April 7th, 2026. There's Second Chance at Love and kind of Second Chance at Life vibes as well.
Yeah.
It is destination. They are in Paris for a wedding, which I'm not going to spoil anything. I'll be very vague about the way I talk about. But this is the story of Layla and Griffin. They have an encounter on a plane,
Yeah.
and they don't know who each other are. Like they have never met before previous to this. They are both flying to Paris for like this wedding. Griffin's best friend is marrying the sister of Layla's ex-husband. And so just the dynamic of the reasoning that Layla is there is interesting.
Yeah.
But Griffin, he is this character where he's very closed off, very grumpy for
Yeah.
reasons,
Yeah.
like as his story progresses, but he has this really great connection with Layla at the same time, although he doesn't necessarily want it.
I think he is a person who has hidden himself away from connection, except with the exception of a couple of people, one of them being the groom for this wedding, his best friend. So he has really taken himself out of the world over the last several years. Yeah.
So in this book, though, we kind of have two stories in one because we have Griffin and Layla's story, but then we have Michael and Emily's story as well. And also, my sister-in-law's name is Emily and my husband's name is Michael. And in
Oh.
this book, I was like, oh no, not again. I
Yeah.
usually never have that reaction, but I was like, oh man. It was
Yeah.
just because I call him Michael and like she is Emily. Like I
Yeah.
have a few people that call my husband Michael, like everybody else calls him Mike. So it's when it's Mike and Emily, it doesn't bug me as much. But since Michael was a Michael, I was like, oh man.
That is a risk of reading romance when you hit upon a character that has a name of a family member.
Oh, yes, definitely. But so we get like these two parallel stories because Michael and Emily are in Paris looking to get married, and like there are things happening with them. And that is one of the reasons that Griffin and Layla kind of come together too, because of things that may have been said or not said, but alluded to that kind of they don't change minds, but they kind of change minds at the same time.
Yeah, they disrupt the energy of the wedding, I think.
But
It's fair to say.
was that purposeful to have both of those relationships playing out the way they did, or was it kind of a happy accident?
No, I think it was really purposeful. I mean, with Layla, I really wanted to tell the story of a woman who, Layla has seen a lot of life. Like, she's a physician who works in a pretty stressful job, and she does a lot of traveling for her job. And she's been married and gone through a divorce. And I think, because she has lived a good amount of life, she has all these relationships that she's built over the course of her life. Our lives, I think, get more complex as we move through them. And you can see that in Layla, right? Like, She was married into this family. She loved this family. She wants to be respectful and follow through with this invitation. But it's also taking a toll on her, like to maintain these complicated relationships. And I think Emily, in a lot of ways, Emily, who is much younger than Layla, Layla first met Emily when Emily was just sort of like a budding teenager. And I think that their views of the world are different. And that's part of what I wanted to explore a bit in the book. Layla, I think, is wrestling with a lot more complexity than Emily is at first. And I think Emily comes to understand complexity as the book goes on.
Well, and I think part of it is it really shows, like, shines a light on, like, no matter whether or not a divorce is amicable, as like she keeps saying, but when you are with somebody for as long as her and Jamie were together and then you separate and ultimately divorce, like, it doesn't matter that, like, it's hard to keep that relationship with the family. Like, it's this added dynamic where you love these people and you want to stay in their lives, but at the same time, like, are you hurting yourself by keeping them in your life? And like, I feel like that whole part of the book, it's like she has a good relationship with these people, but at the same time, like, it hurts her to see them because of, like, when we find out, like, why they split up and all those things. Like, is it more detrimental for her to keep that relationship?
I mean, I have to say the idea of like amicable divorce was kind of the thematic thing that started me thinking about this book. And I think that phrase has become sort of like a cultural norm. Like you hear, you sort of started to hear celebrities use it a lot, and then you started to hear it kind of in regular life a lot more. And obviously, in like a perfect world, if you had to get divorced, right? Like if a divorce happened, like in the perfect scenario of that, it would be friendly, right? Everybody's okay with it, like nobody's hurt, or everybody's able to move on and coexist or whatever. And that's a really beautiful concept, but I also sort of got obsessed with the idea that, in our society, one group of people is sort of socialized to be amicable. And it's mostly women are socialized to be really nice and not show anger and not show frustration and be polite and maintain relationships and whatever. And so I guess I was really fascinated with the idea of amicability as like an added pressure. That like if you can't manage an amicable divorce, you are somehow a failure. And I think Layla has really lived her life in a way that has been about like keeping the peace. And so, of course, like the guy she needs to meet in Paris is the opposite of that, like a guy who has never tried to keep the peace in his life. So that's who she needed to meet.
Well, and I think the contrast between Emily's parents and then Michael's parents and the relationships and how they treated Emily's parents treated Griffin meeting him and how they interacted with him versus Michael's parents and how they interact with him. And then as you get the backstory, like, it you can understand it, but it's very frustrating at the same time because of situation. And it's just because her parents, like, they're so welcoming to a lot of things. And, like, even when she shows up, like, they're instantly, like, so excited to see her. But I also wonder how much of what actually happened between her and Jamie did they tell, or did they just say, like, this is what's happening, and they didn't really let people in? Which, I mean, I'm not divorced. I've been with my husband for almost 20 years now, and I can see why people keep that stuff close to the vest.
Yeah, I think Something I really love about romance, or like my favorite romances, is that my favorite romances really let people be people. And people are really complicated.
People are complicated.
I hope that when readers encounter my books, like they sometimes do see characters behaving badly or in a frustrating way, but I've also given them a little insight into why and how, and because that's what it's like to live in the world, right?
Not easy.
So
It is not.
yes.
Life is complicated and complex, and
And this book really gave me the opportunity to do that in a way that I think is different from something I've done before.
well, and this book ultimately, like when you get to the end of it, like it's really about, it's a healing journey in like multiple ways, as like we get Griff's backstory and his like trauma that he has went through. And I mean, there's really no other way to say, like, it was trauma, and trauma he hasn't truly dealt with, and how he deals with it, and the way that Layla shows him, not even outright, but subtly, like shows him like how the fact that he needs to deal with these traumas. And it's just the healing journey emotionally, physically, relationship-wise. There's just so many layers to the way that you created both of their stories, because Layla comes in and you think she's fairly like put together, she also is struggling in some ways too because of this divorce and the fact that like she isn't sure that she is past it, which you, I don't know if you ever get past it, but like okay with it would be so.
I think that is such a nice thing to say. Thank you. I mean, I think that Griff needed, one thing I tried to emphasize throughout the book is that Layla is really strong. Like, she is a really strong person. And in the aftermath of her divorce, I think that strength harmed her. Like she leaned into her own strength too hard, to her own detriment. But I think the type of strength that she has that is wonderful for her is also something that Griffin really needs. Like, she is not really rattled by some of the things about him that are difficult. That are sort of like the remnants of this terrible trauma he's lived through. She is really stable in the face of that. Those are not things that she fears or that she needs to be sort of like talked through or walked through. So her strength, I think, it finally finds its appropriate outlet in Griffin. It's what he needs, and what she needs from him is a little bit more self-protectiveness.
Well, and when you get some of their interactions, like you get her internal thoughts where it's like, physician Layla would say this, but this is what I'm going to say, or physician Layla would do this, but this is what I'm going to do. So like she's very thoughtful in the way that she treats him and his appearance and his needs. And like I think that was one of the things, like she grows through the book too, but her growth is very, it's much s smaller, but not at the same time. Like it's one of those things where like she's content in herself and what she's capable of, but it's some of those like outerlying emotions and things that she recognizes, like I need to interact with this person in this style of thing differently than I usually would. She's very, like, she thinks about a lot of things before she acts or speaks, which I think is great because we don't, I mean, we have that.
And I mean, I think that's part of like her maturity and like the life that she's lived. I think, when I had this idea like to write this book, I had a couple people say to me, like, I can't believe anybody would go to their ex, like, their ex-sister-in-law's wedding. And I thought, I know a lot of people who would go. Because you're trying to show up for people that you've loved, you're trying to set aside hard feelings, right?
Well, and they were, I mean, they were family for a good chunk of time, and like through Emily's formative years, like, because you in the book, she was 11 when they first met, and they've only been divorced for like a couple years. So, I mean, that is a big chunk of time. And Emily, 23, 24, this book, which I did really enjoy the fact that your characters for the main romance were older, because we don't always get that in the way that they were portrayed. But I thought that her going to the wedding, like, it made sense. Like, had she not went, I think it would have been more hurtful to her because she did care about Emily so much.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's like the Layla in my that I created. It's like, of course she would go. It wouldn't even be a question.
Well, and that is something that, like, I think Griff questions, like, why would she go to this? Why would she put herself through it? But as he gets to know her, he understands, like, it wasn't really about her and her needs and what she needed. It was like Emily and her needs and what she wanted. And I think that said a lot about Layla's character as a
And
whole.
I think he starts to understand her more too, because of course, Griffin would say no to a lot of things, but he would never say no to Michael, right? So like Michael asked him to be there and he went
As much
despite all the
as I
difficulty it caused him.
yeah.
And I think, there is something they understand deeply about each other as they get to know each other in Paris.
Yeah, and I really like their dynamic and the way that they their interactions, and like there's some really soft moments for the two of them that it works really well. And when they leave Paris, they separate, they are separate ways, and there's a lot of change that is happening for Griffin in the best ways, and Michael and Emily as well. And Layla, like, she goes back to her life, and there's not a lot of change there, but there is at the same time, which I thought was really interesting the way that you did that.
Yeah, she's different. I mean, it has changed her, the way she relates to herself, the way she thinks about herself. And I think, again, like I love that part of a romance. Like I love the part of a romance where the individuals, the main individuals in the romance, are having to like rebuild themselves in some way, right? I always knew that there would be, after Paris, there would be like a separation.
I mean, I love a third act breakup.
Me too.
They were not real, like, they were together but not together, so one of those, is it really a breakup because they were together? But
I
like,
mean, yeah, I
it
love a
was a
third
good
act
chunk of
crisis.
time too. Like, it wasn't like a couple weeks, like, it was a long time.
I think it needed to be for Griff, especially.
Yeah, I think that had it been shorter, like with his journey, it wouldn't have made sense. So what's next for you?
So I'm working on something new now, but I'm like in that stage where it's so new that I'm almost like superstitious about it. Like everything I put down about it, I'm like, I can't say a word. But yes, I'm writing something new, and I'm in a stage of my day job work where I don't have a lot of time to write. So I'm looking forward to a couple months from now, things will open up for me and I'll have time to like sit with that new thing. So I'm very excited about it. And I imagine that like after April 7th, my mind will kind of like shift out of Layla Griffin mode and into this new mode.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on this author
Thank
spotlight.
you.
Appreciate you taking time out of your day.
That was so great. Thank you so much for having me.
Until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.